Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Tommy, did I put a video in there next? I did actually remember to do it. All right, let's start with this video. Good morning, Living Water Church. Today we're starting a new sermon series where we're just looking at one of the cores of what it means to be a Christian. You know, the Bible, it's full of individuals and groups of people who did just some incredible things, not because of their own strength that they had in and of themselves, but because of their great faith in God. A God-sized faith is displayed when we step out in trust. And before the miracle even takes place, when we don't even know if it's going to take place, it means we are keeping our eyes on Jesus when the storm is raging around us. It means we're willing to follow God without fully knowing where it will take us. And it means living for God even if it costs us something, even if it costs us everything. For the next few weeks, we're going to explore the lessons we can learn from the extraordinary faith of some of the greatest stories in Scripture. And let's just start by defining what we mean by faith. And there are many ways that we can describe this aspect of our relationship with God, but there's this passage of Scripture that just captures it in this simple, concise way. We've just heard it in the children's message. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's a great verse to have memorized. It says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see." We go to the English Standard Version, it says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. Faith is an assurance. It's a conviction about what or who is trustworthy. But this trust is based on things that are hoped for. They're based on things that aren't seen yet. When people have faith in Jesus, they're placing their belief and their hope and trust in someone they can't see, touch, can't feel, yet they have this deep conviction that the power of the Spirit of God is worthy of their confidence. So let me just kind of demonstrate what faith is. You know, first of all, we got this chair. You know, faith is kind of like you got a chair, never sat in this chair before, and you know, you just kind of have faith that if I sit down in this thing, it's going to hold my weight and I won't collapse on the floor and be made to look like a fool, right? I have this faith in this chair. Or how about another way? Another way to do it is a trust fall. And so Matt and Leland's going to come up here and demonstrate this for us. We've seen it many times, but sometimes just getting this visual in our mind of what it means to take a step of faith. All right, so go ahead and face that way, and your dad is going to be behind you. Go ahead and get a little bit closer. There we go. All right, now. Let's see how much faith you have in your dad to do a fall backwards. Go for it. All right. Not bad, right? He you know, that's faith. All right. Now let's see how much faith you really have. Go ahead and separate a little bit. A little bit more. All right. You ready? You trust him that much? All right. Let's see. Go for it. Yeah, there we go. That is faith. You guys can go sit down. Thank you so much for demonstrating it. But, you know, he proved his faith by being willing to fall back, and his dad proved trustworthy by catching him. You know, I was telling them when I asked them if they'd help me out, I did this once at the youth group where I had, you know, I'm the one catching, and I had a teenager, and then I had someone stand behind me that the person didn't know was behind me. They got up there and they went to fall, and I kind of did this thing as they're falling. That was just cruel. Youth pastors do stuff like that. She was caught, of course, by the person that was, but the look of panic on her face was kind of priceless, but it demonstrated, you know, I don't think she forgot that illustration for the rest of her life. That's the purpose of being a youth pastor. You want to make sure you get these things stuck in their heads, right? Well, the stories of faith in scriptures are there to be an example for us to follow. God's desire is for his people to live out extraordinary faith. The first story we're looking at today shows us that sometimes we have to take a step first to see that God is trustworthy. And so our first point today is that we become witnesses of God's power when we are full of faith. We see God move when we're full of faith. The Bible tells us that when Moses rescues the people of Israel from 400 years of slavery in Egypt, they begin this long journey, this exodus, to a place that was promised to God's people in the book of Genesis and also the book of Numbers. And this location was called the Promised Land. It was said to be a place that was just flowing with milk and honey. It was a symbol of God's blessing and his rest. And a problem comes up when God's people realize that this land, this promised land of Canaan, is actually inhabited by giants and walled cities. And this causes fear in their hearts. For them to take this land promised to them by God, they would have to exercise extraordinary faith. Because remember, these people, they're not a trained army. And these are actually the children of slaves who their whole life have done nothing but walk around from place to place in the desert. And so we're at the book of Joshua, the beginning. And Joshua begins with this new leader. Moses has died. And Joshua is readying his people to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The first time that the Israelites had come to this place, their parents had let fear stop them from receiving the promise. They didn't take the step of faith. Now a new generation is at the river deciding if they're going to cross it. And the future is uncertain. The way is incredibly dangerous. They could all perish. However, God gives the people clear instruction for their next step of faith. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, it says, "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left the Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, Move out from your positions and follow them. Since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark, between you and God's presence. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the ark of the covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. So here you have these Israelites. They're all camped out on one side of the Jordan River. The promised land's on the other side. And the people are told that when they see the priest moving the Ark of the Covenant, they're to follow. Now, this picture up here, this is my first time trying AI. That's what it came up with. So that's not bad, all right? And, you know, I'm trying to get used to these new tools. But they got this picture of them coming up to this river, and they've got this ark, okay? And this ark is very significant to the Jewish people because it represented the physical presence of God. So God gives us instructions because he wanted the Israelites to stay close in step with him, not to go before him, or fall too far behind him. Instead, he wanted them to follow his presence as he led them. If they did, Joshua promised that they would see the Lord do amazing things. God's desire here is obedience from his people, and their faithfulness will result in him showing his power and might in their presence. Okay, now I've got another picture for you here. Have you ever seen Arabian horses? Or ever seen them maybe in the movies, or maybe been to a place where they had some of these Arabian horses, beautiful, powerful horses. And these Arabian horses go through rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. And the trainers require absolute obedience from the horses, and they test them to see if they've completely been trained. The final test is almost beyond the endurance of any living creature. The trainers forced these horses to go without water for many days in the desert. Then they turn them loose and they start running toward the water. However, just as they get to the edge, ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle. And the horses that have been completely trained, who have learned perfect obedience, stop. And then they turn around and they go back to the trainer. And they stand before the trainer, quivering, wanting water, but wait in patient obedience. And then the trainer, once they're sure that they have full obedience, he gives them a signal to go back and get the drink. For us to see God move powerfully in our lives, we must learn to follow his lead. God gives us step one, and he won't give us step two until we do the first step, even if it takes us 30 years to finally do step number one. There have been times in my life where I have just operated full of faith, where God has just done some incredible things. And there have been other times when I've just missed the mark, where I haven't been in step with the Holy Spirit. But the times when God has been just moving in extraordinary ways, I have sensed God's leading when I pray and when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm spending time with other believers. And these times of seeing God's hand move have happened because I've allowed God to teach me how to listen to him and respond to his leading. And of course, I still don't do it perfectly. Yet the times I have, I've seen miracles happen, where I've experienced God moments of him causing circumstances to happen in obvious ways that have increased my faith in him more and more. And I have found that the power of God at work in my life is directly correlated to my proximity to him. Could it be that the reason your faith in God has waned some, or the reason you have not seen God's hand work in your life visibly, is because you've allowed distance to come between you and God? It's just something to consider as we go through this. So in this story of faith, God is trying to instill in his people to trust in him, as well as trust in their new leader, Joshua. God wanted his people to see Joshua in the same light that they saw Moses. in our story today, the first thing that happened was God split the Jordan River for Joshua, just as he had done with Moses in the Red Sea. However, there's this crucial verse in this story that offers us an important key to living with God-sized faith. So we're at Joshua chapter 3, verse 7 through 16. It says, "The Lord told Joshua, 'Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there.' So Joshua told the Israelites, 'Come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will certainly drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gerarites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites ahead of you.'" It's a lot of ites. "Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water," not before, not after, "as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall." So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Ever seen a river that's overflowing? It's not a calm thing. "But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zethron. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho." So speaking through Joshua, God gives the priests instructions of what they need to do to enter the promised land of Canaan. They're to take this Ark of the Covenant and step into the river. And this instruction is already a test of faith, because the passage tells us that this Jordan River, it's at flood stage. So it's a raging river here. However, Joshua knew that if the people were willing to trust God to make a way through the Jordan, they would also trust him to make a way through this new land where he was leading them. And so they had these two major obstacles that they were going to have to overcome as they go to the land of Canaan. They got this river they got to cross, and then they've got the enemies on the other side waiting that they have to conquer. It would all require faith to remain obedient to God. So first, we become witnesses of God's power when we are full of faith. And then second, faith requires a first step. Real faith. A saving faith is not just a belief in God. Not just a mind thing where we believe that God exists and that Jesus was real and he died for our sins. That is so important, but it's not just that. It also requires an action in obedience to God. Faith without works is dead. So what I find most interesting about this story is that God did not split the water and provide dry ground to walk across until the priests carrying that ark actually put their feet into the water. And again, this isn't this some small stream. This isn't an average river like the Ausable River in Michigan. This is like Mississippi River at flood stage. This is a raging river. The priest's demonstration of faith by putting themselves ankle deep into the Jordan River, risking their own lives and the possibility of losing the Ark of the Covenant that they're carrying, that step of faith was the catalyst to the amazing things that God did for them. Faith, it requires a first step. Most often, faith requires an impossible, risky, even dangerous first step. And so what are you asking God to do in your life right now? Are you praying for your children or grandchildren to give their lives to Jesus or to come back to a faith they had at one time? Or are you praying for healing in your body or someone else's body? Maybe you're praying for wisdom or financial resources, maybe to find a new job. For the Israelites, they were believing God for a promised land of blessing where they would be just kind of set apart for Him. Well, what about you? You know, maybe God, you're just sensing that God's asking you to follow Him into a ministry of some type. Maybe you sense God is wanting you to make the first step in being reconciled to someone in your life. Maybe God is wanting you to move past some kind of sin that you just feel trapped in and held captive to, and God's saying it's time to deal with this. Maybe God is asking you to share part of your God story with someone. Or maybe God is asking you to serve someone in need in your community, and you may feel scared to death because it's a hard thing to do. You know, when you think about this first step, you might see this great big list of obstacles that just make it too difficult to try to consider. But what if God is really just asking you to take that one initial step of faith? You don't have to have it all figured out. And that path, it might be murky. You might not have all the details to be able to do it, but the water's not going to part until you choose to get ankle deep. So just a couple stories to kind of get our mind around this. You know, when our church decided to leave the United Methodist denomination to join the Global Methodist denomination, you know, a couple years ago, the leadership board had to work through some challenging situations that required steps of faith. One of them was how we as a church was going to be able to financially pay the cost of leaving the UMC. And many of you know this story, but some of you don't. You know, they were asking for around $200,000. At that time, our church had experienced a pattern over the last 15 or so years of the church getting a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller, and tithes and offerings becoming less and less. How would we come up with all that money? But as a whole, our church decided to take a step of faith. We didn't know how God was going to provide, but we chose this is what He was calling us to. We stepped into the water without knowing how God was going to move. In the end, we ended up having a couple of fundraisers. We took up a miracle offering, and we decided to move the offices we had next door back into the building, and we turned that back into a home, and we had Cheryl and I, we moved into that building as the parsonage so that we could have the possibility of selling the old parsonage that was in the neighborhood across the street. And there was some obstacles in all of that. You know, we ended up having to take out a loan for that $200,000 that the UMC wanted. Plus, we had debt on this property, somewhere around $270,000. We combined that all together into one big loan. So there were obstacles to this journey of faith. We were going to have to sell that former parsonage as quickly as possible. We were going to need to have to pay our monthly expenses as a church, and we didn't know how we were going to do that with that big of a bill each month, and so we knew this was going to happen quick. And we had to take a step of faith. And then God ended up selling that former parsonage within 2 weeks of us officially becoming ours from the UMC. And now we actually owe $100,000 less than we did before this whole process started. We took a step of faith, and God directed us to, and He blessed us for it. So that was part A of taking steps of faith. The next challenge came when it was time for us to put together a budget as a Global Methodist church with the name Living Water. As I had said, our tithes and offerings for years as a UMC church had kind of gone down a little by little by little. But as we began putting this budget together of all the things we felt God was asking us to do, we needed to adopt a budget that was going to require giving to go up by a little bit more than 10%, and that's a lot for a church to go up by. It was a scary thing to do for the leadership. After all, we had just had this Miracles Sunday offering where many of you had sacrificed financially for that, and the offerings tend to go down after such a sacrificial offering, and so it was a scary thing. We didn't know what was going to happen. But the leadership board decided to take the step of faith, And not only did our offerings go up by 10%, our offerings went up by 19%. Way more than we could have possibly thought that could have happened. Okay, this year, 2025, we adopted a budget that again required our giving to go up. And the leadership board felt like God was asking us to give our ministry team some funds to work with where we haven't been able to do that for a while. And again, God has been blessing us this year financially. As of May, our giving has covered all our expenses, and we're about $1,000 behind what we had budgeted for the first 5 months. Your faithfulness, I just want to thank you for being generous. And God is moving in our midst. He is blessing us with His manifest presence in our worship services. He's blessed us by adding some amazing people to our church family. Every Sunday I come to church excited, just in anticipation of what God's going to do next. And that would not be true without taking the first steps and choosing to get ankle deep. And so the concept of faith in God, that concept is kind of simple, just in the concept. I mean, I think all of us want God to move mightily in our midst. We want to see those who are far from God find Him and be discipled as followers of Jesus right here at our church. You know, we want to see our church full of babies and toddlers and elementary students and teens and young adults and middle-aged adults and seniors. We want to just see the whole life cycle here. We want to see the altars lined and people being healed and people growing in their relationship with God. We want to see these things happening. Faith in God is simple in concept. It's the whole getting our feet wet when we don't know what's going to happen that we struggle with a little bit. But if we will follow closely where God leads and be willing to take those steps, you know, to see Him work in our life, we'll find that that kind of faith does not just affect you. It also affects those who are around you who see this happening. Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground." These priests were obedient to God's instruction, and as long as they stood in the middle of that dry riverbed, the whole nation of Israel crossed, was able to pass by without getting wet at all. And so first, we become witnesses of God's power when we're full of faith. And then second, faith requires a first step. And then third, your step of faith will also be a blessing to others. You know, faith is rarely a decision with only personal consequences. Because the priest obeyed God, even though I'm sure it didn't make a whole lot of sense to them why God was asking them to step into a flooded river carrying a sacred heavy wooden box that if you touch that box, you might die, but you're going to go into this river. You know, I think if I was a priest, I'd be like, God, could you just not do it first and then I'll step? That makes a whole lot more sense to me. I've had those conversations with God. You really want me to do that first? I mean, that doesn't make much sense, God. He just has a way of having us do things that don't make sense until you do it. And then you look back and it's like, oh, I see what you're doing, God. He likes doing that to us. It stretches us and it grows our faith. Because the priest obeyed God, even though I'm sure it didn't make sense. Because they obeyed, a way was made for God's people to cross the Jordan into the promised land. When we step out in faith and trust in God, there are often others around us who are going to benefit from our faith. A father who's full of faith will have an incredible impact on their children. A wife full of faith will have to transform her spouse. A single family that's full of faith can affect a whole neighborhood. A church full of faith can transform a whole community, even change the whole world. God has done it before. He can do it again. God may be inviting you to take a step of faith, not only for your benefit, Your trust in God may be the catalyst for blessing people all around you. I love the way the late preacher William Booth spoke about this kind of faith and blessing. He said that faith and works should travel side by side, right? Step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith and then works, and then faith again and then works again, until you can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. Your step of faith ought to lead to a step of action. So I want to invite you this morning to just take a moment asking God to speak to you about what step of faith he's wanting you to do today. And if you are honest as you're asking him, don't be surprised if God brings up something he asked you to do a long time ago and you put it off, which means you said no to him. God circled these Israelites back to the promised land after 40 years in the desert. He brought them right back to that step of faith where they had said no before, when they had failed the test. And God does the same thing to us. He presents an opportunity to us that we can take this step of faith, and maybe we just aren't ready. Maybe we just can't see it, and we fail the test, and so there's consequences because we failed the test. But then he helps us get past those consequences, and he strengthens us, and he brings us right back to that same test. It might be different circumstances, it might be different people, but it's still the same step that he's wanting us to take. And if we fail that test, then we go around the circle again, and we fail, go around the circle again until we finally have the strength and trust in God to take the step. And then he shows us step number two. And when we take step number two, he shows us step number three. You ever wondered if you're really growing in your faith? If you're really maturing as a disciple of Jesus? There is a way that you can know for sure. And it's the time it takes for you to say yes to God shows you how mature you are as a disciple. If God asks you to share your God story with your next door neighbor 10 years ago and you still haven't done it, that doesn't mean that God has given up on you sharing your story. And it doesn't mean that obedience to the Holy Spirit is optional. You can choose to say yes or no. It means that you're still a baby Christian. Or maybe your relationship with God has completely died, and you've been in disobedience to God for 10 years. The time it takes for God to ask you to take a step of faith and you to respond with yes, Lord, yes, to your will and your way, and actually take that step is an accurate measure of how true your relationship is with God. Do you wrestle with him for a month, for a couple of weeks, for a day? Or do you do it immediately when you hear it and understand what God is asking of you? I mean, there's nothing wrong with confirming what you just heard in your heart, that it was actually from God and not the Doritos you ate last night. Okay, but once you have confirmed God's voice and direction, how long does it take for you to take that first step? As I look back over my life, some things were easy for me to say yes to. And when I was in college, the middle of my second year of college, I felt like God asked me to leave Ohio and go to San Diego, California to finish college. Didn't have money to do it. I had about 2 months for rent and some food. Had no job, but, you know, I went. That was an easy choice because it was San Diego. Right? You know, if he'd asked me to go to some small town in Texas, I might have struggled a little bit more. But he was saying, go to the ocean. So I was like, I'm going. There's been times when I've struggled. I think I've shared this one time before, but I remember a time when I was doing a revival service, and I don't do very many revival. I think I've only done a couple, but this one, I'm preaching at this revival service about how important it is to not have something between you and another believer, and how that affects the church if you're at odds with another believer, and how you need to work things out if there's something there. And as I'm preaching, I'm having conversation in my mind, which is a bad idea if you're preaching, but I got this conversation going, oh, I'm so glad I don't have anything with anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just doing good in this area. As I'm preaching along, God says, do you remember that youth leader at your first church you was youth pastor of and how angry he was when you left? And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That wasn't my fault, God. That was his fault, you know. So that's his job to fix. And God said, no, I want you to call him. While I'm preaching, he tells me this. That's just cruel. So I'm trying to think as I'm preaching, I got to call this guy. He didn't like me when I left. He was downright angry. He couldn't even look me in the eye the last Sunday I was there. There's reasons why he was upset. I was kind of I was my first youth pastor, and I kind of did things the way I thought it was, and he thought that was not the way to do it, and we kind of clashed, although I didn't realize how upset he was until the end of my ministry there, but had the situation. So I was like, so after this revival's over, I get his phone number because I didn't have it anymore, and this was back before cell phones, and you had the phone on the wall with the long cord, right, you know, and so I remember putting my hand on that phone, and okay, what am I going to say? Okay, I feel really stupid calling him up. He was really mad at me. He couldn't even talk to me. I don't know if I want to talk to this guy. It's kind of letting go. And a couple days later, after God had put all this, you know, do this. All right, and I put my hand on that phone. About 2 weeks, if I remember correctly, of me putting my hand on my phone before I finally called it and had a great conversation with a guy. He had gotten over whatever he was upset about. We ended up having a good time talking, and I remember thinking, boy, I made that into a big mountain. And it was nothing. It was just a conversation he wanted. God wanted to clear that. Sometimes that's what faith is like. Well, we wrestle with him. How long does it take you to wrestle with God before you finally say yes? That is a measure of how maturing you are in your faith. It should be getting less and less. That tells you you're maturing more and more. As you hear God say do, and then you take that step of faith. Some steps are harder than others to take. Sometimes God asks us to do things that make absolutely no sense at the time. Sometimes God asks us to let go of something in your life that you really like in your life. It's there because you like it, and God's saying, I want you to let go of this because I have something better, but you don't know it's better till you let it go, and that can be hard. Sometimes God asks us to give beyond what we think we can afford. Sometimes that step of faith hurts a little bit. The reality is that there is no risk in the ask. It's not a step of faith. It's just a step. What step is God asking you to take? What crazy thought has been going around in your mind as I have been talking to you this whole sermon? That you've been quietly saying, no way, no how, no where, I am not going to do that. That couldn't possibly coming from God. Yep, that's the first step of faith that I'm talking to you about. That's it. That's what it feels like when you are presented with the idea. Would you be willing to write that step of faith down in your notes? To test it. To ask God about it. Because God won't let you go of it once you have got it in your mind if it is from Him. Would you even be willing to write it on your connection card so that I can be praying for you and with you as you wrestle with God in taking whatever step that might be. Besides writing down what the step is, ask what write down what you're going to need to do so that you can take that step. Maybe God is asking you to help out in the nursery, okay? Then I need to have a conversation with Pastor Todd about it. Maybe God is asking you to increase your tithes and offerings. Well, then I need to go and update and increase my automatic giving. Maybe God is asking you to share a part of your God story with my adult child. And so I need to just pick up the phone and start sharing and let God give me the words to say. What step is God asking you to take? Why not say yes to Him about it? Let's pray. Debbie's coming up. Oh, Heavenly Father. Steps of faith, they're so important in our growing, in our relationship with You. teach us how to hear your voice, God. They teach us how to distinguish between our own thoughts and the world's thoughts and your voice in our life. They teach us that it's not just the pastor and the missionary and the evangelist and that do these things, but it's everybody. That's just part of being a Christian. And they grow our faith. God, would you help us to hear? What is it that you want us to do? What is the step? Maybe it's something that comes from a long time ago. And God is circling you back to it. And saying it's time to let that wrestling stop and just be blessed in your faith as it grows by taking a step. Release those emotions, release those doubts, release those obstacles that present itself, the little whisperings of the evil one as he suggests you can't do that. That's not something you have the ability to do. God's going to just leave you high and dry, or that's not God's voice. All the lies that come into our mind when God is trying to help us grow closer to him through steps of faith. God, would you give us the strength? Give us the clarity. And so in this moment, I want to give you time to have a conversation with God without my voice getting in the way. So we're just going to have about a minute or two of just silence. You asking God, is there a step I need to take? And if he speaks to you, write it down so you don't forget it. Write it down. Let's talk to him silently. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that the church is only as effective and authentic as each of us individually are willing to take steps of faith. Give us boldness. Help us to overcome the what-ifs that pop up in our minds. Give us a clear direction. Just clear the haze and the struggle to understand your voice. Help us overcome our doubts. And may each of us this week be used by you in some amazing ways as we fearlessly follow in step with the Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.